song. Oh, yeah. This is the Rational Revolution. Sorry, I get caught up in the music sometimes. I'm Mark Becker. We got my dear friend Daniel Olson. He's owner of Forge Innovations, largest forge consultant company in the United States, specializing in dairy farms. And we're talking about some of these policies that are really hurting dairy farms specifically. And if you want to, if you like this discussion, don't forget, you know, like our show on the social media. We're everywhere. You can listen to our podcast wherever you get your podcasts, civicmedia.us, all the stuff. Find us. Now I got to rip the Band-Aid off. Things that are going, you know, on in the news. Huge stuff about ICE and immigration and all of that. And today we really focused not on the political, but just the facts. And how have those raids and the ICE direction, how have that impacted farms?
So my clientele, I tend to be what you consider larger dairy farms. Yeah. I work with some of the largest dairy farms in the country. And of course, they're probably affected more than a farm that produces maybe all their own labor. And farmers aren't unified on this. Like there's the small farmers that look at their neighbor who's larger, milks more cows, whatever, and they think, well, if it wasn't for immigrant labor, I would be making more money. Like I wouldn't have to compete with land for my neighbor, et cetera. Yeah. And some of that may be true. But like I said, we're in such a export heavy market now that unless you want the whole dairy industry to collapse, I just don't think that's really a thing. But I think the story about immigrant labor and its affecting is a very human one. Like, people like to separate out, well, it's just workers and they're just, you know, they're just cycling through. And these dairy farmers have very real relationships with their workers. Some of these have been there their whole lives. You know, they came when their parents came and they were 4 years old and they've been hanging around the farm and they're working there.
And they're creating a dignified life for themselves.
They are. And this idea that it's slave labor, that they're being abused, that's just not true.
Right.
Like, and I think there's probably been some of that has happened in the past, especially in maybe seasonal labor, like in vegetables or fruit industry where people had substandard housing. It's just not true in dairy farms.
Yeah. So in those dairy farms that are bigger, and I can attest to this because, you know, we work in the car business and we work in, you know, helping people secure financing. Mm-hmm. And we have had immigrants come in and they tell us what they make, and it's they're not making $10 an hour.
No, they aren't. No. And so, you know, when they lose labor, so one of my farms, and I had posted something on Facebook, and I've worked with this dairy for a long time, and they're really good people. And they had an immigration, an audit, and they found that 37 of their employees were not valid. Now, these weren't people that came across the desert somewhere and snuck under a fence. These were people that came, maybe they overstayed a work visa, maybe something changed in an asylum claim. Mm-hmm. Like maybe there was just some policy change or a paperwork change. But a lot of these people have been with them for years. And I was just out there this week visiting with them. And they said, yeah, we found the people. We filled the positions.
They were taken away.
They lost 37 of their employees, which was over half of their workforce.
Oh my God.
But they said what we can't replace, what we can't replace is the relationships. We can't replace the experience. They have animal health issues that are cropping up because they have people that, yeah, they can put a milker on a cow, but they can't tell if she's sick or not. Mm-hmm. You know, they don't have the skills that they that these people that have made an occupation and a life out of working with dairy cattle do. And so this idea that that we can just replace them or just go into town and find people or pay more. You can't replace skills like that quickly.
No. And so, and the thing to branch out a little bit, the frustrating thing is you hear what's being said of we're going to get the bad guys. We're going to the people that are here and taking your jobs and stealing things and that's not really what's necessarily happening.
Yeah, and that's the hard part, right? Like I think most rational people are.
That's what the show's about.
Yeah, right? Yeah. Like, you know, and yeah. I think we've talked about this. Like most people, like yeah, if you commit a felony, like hey, that's a problem. Like we don't probably want you here, you know?
Right.
Okay. And I think most people can get around that. And when you talk about the cracking down on gangs or whatever, mm-hmm. like, hey, I think we can get, you know, I think
yes.
the vast majority of the country is like, but when you're going to people's places of employment, arresting people who are paying taxes. Mm-hmm. I mean, the employer pays them out of their, you know,
yeah.
they're paying taxes.
Yes.
They're supporting U.S. businesses. They're contributing members of society. They're not committing crimes other than their immigration status. Like, I don't think that's what most people signed up for, especially in agriculture. And I've had a number of these farms who I know have supported the administration and might still for various reasons, but they've just really expressed frustration because they said, well, this isn't what they said was going to happen.
Right.
And even as recently as a month.
What the hell did you think was going to happen?
Well, okay.
I can't say that, but you know.
Yeah, but even the president has put out some messaging like, hey, we know we need these people on farms or we know we need them in the service industry.
Right.
But then the next day, a spokesman will come out and say, well, hey, we're getting rid of them anyway.
Right.
Now, so there's just this kind of confusion.
They've talked about bailouts. Was it $20 billion? Or is it $10 billion? But they gave $20 billion to Argentina?
Yeah, I think and that's up people, to 40 now.
Is it really?
That's what I heard.
Oh, my God. Okay. I won't editorialize that, but is that, that's...
The bailout thing?
How much is that going to help?
Not enough. So for context, remember I said that, like, just as a rough figure, say that tariffs have dropped our price for our products by 20%. You know, if there's a 20% tariff on us from another country, it roughly. So soybeans right now are roughly $9-something a bushel. And they should be 11, 12. That's what American price is right now, is about $12. So it's just the tariff built right into it.
That's huge.
We grow about $4.5 billion bushels of soybeans a year. So $2.50 a bushel times 4 billion is $10 billion. So what that bailout could do is it could bring our soybean price up to the price of what the international market is. But that doesn't change it's not the dairy, it's not the corn, it's not the rice, all the other agriculture products. So yeah, it's something, and I'm sure no farmers are going to turn it down.
Oh no!
But in reality, we're talking like maybe $100 billion in negative impact, economic impact from the tariffs and trade policy.
And it's completely self-induced.
It is. Yeah. Now, I mean, you could say maybe there's some sectors of the economy that have benefited. And I don't know enough about those sectors to say like, hey, if I was in the steel business, did it help me or hurt me? You know, if I'm in the cabinet business or whatever, maybe there's some that element. I don't know. But I'm just speaking from an agriculture perspective. it always hurts.
Oh, yeah. And we're talking with Daniel Olson, owner of Forge Innovations. With the farms that you consult on, how is the mood the same when you walk onto the farms, when you go do your visits? Is it, what is that like?
Yeah, and there's really, as a whole, I think there's just kind of this uncertainty out there. Like there's just a thought. There's still those that have quite a bit of confidence in the administration that if we hold out long enough, they're going to fix it.
What's the goal at the end?
Well, that's what I'm a little frustrated by. I felt like in the first administration, it was like, well, we're going to fix NAFTA.
Right.
We're going to fix this. And this time around, it feels more like this just is the policy. Like we're going to try to generate revenue from tariffs. Like tariffs aren't a negotiating tool to get a better trade deal. That is the goal, is to get as big a tariffs as we can. And so I think it's just it's a way to raise revenue for the federal government without raising taxes. I mean, that is what it is. And so, I think some of this is misguided. Like, I don't know that there's a real goal at the end. I think we're kind of there. And that's a problem.
That's not great.
That's not great.
Yeah.
It's not great.
Well, because, you know, you think if this is, yeah, you're exactly right. Last time it was, hey, you know, the trade deals, they're not equal. And he was right. I mean, give him, he was right about that. And so, you use the tariffs as this is our negotiating tool to get to right that place. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the difference between the two is, well, that's why countries are now buying their soybeans from a different place because they don't know what's going on.
Yeah. And yeah, I mean, we're American citizens and we don't know what's happening from day to day, right? And if you're another country, because we're farmers, we are selling products to the world. Those are our customers. And probably the biggest thing that concerns me is the long-term relationships that are maybe damaged because of our policies. And I don't know, like, if you can just flip a switch and fix that.
That was my question is, if what's happening during these tariffs is China is finding other places to get their stuff, okay, then what?
Yeah. So these other countries built infrastructure.
Right.
They made improvements. They ramped up production. They're sitting in a much better position now to produce that and fill that goal. So that is the risk. And coming back to this, like if I sell something, like if I buy a car from you and you have a really, maybe we'll cover it on the backside, but if you have a really unique product, you have a car that nobody else has, like you might treat me like dirt and I might still buy that car from you, but it'll be the last one I buy from you, right? Okay.
Wow.
And that's a little bit the way it feels right now. Like people still might have to work with us, but do they want to?
Right.
Are they going to want to long-term?
Right. Awesome. Daniel Olson, thank you so much. This was awesome. I appreciate the conversation and God, we hope we're pulling for those farmers, man. We're here on the Rational Revolution. My thoughts coming up after this.